All right, so today is the last of our series for Care of Discipleship. If you have not been with us or you're skipping a few, just to remind you, we've been talking about four chairs, different chairs representing each stage of our life with Jesus. It doesn't mean that once you get reached to the end, you're done, but just quick review. Seeker means someone who Jesus invited to come and see, to get to know Jesus more. He or she is not a person who is in the kingdom of God, and so we said that unless a person experience salvation, give their lives over to Jesus, receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, he or she would not be able to move on. But seeker is a great first step to get to want to know Jesus and want to be open to spiritual reality. Second one is this, that not only are you a seeker, you continue to grow, mature to be, hopefully through knowing Jesus, you become a believer. A believer is someone that Jesus called not just come and see anymore, but someone to follow him. That there is a commitment that you are called to follow Jesus, live the way he lives, walk as Jesus walked, as we've been quoting 1 John 2:6 quite often. And then, but not only God doesn't say, oh, just be a believer and just stay at home and stay on earth until I come back a second time and take you up to heaven. It moves on to say, as you mature, just like a child, you don't just stay as a child, you mature to be a young adult, to be an adult. Now, part of that means that you become a worker. That you work, and part of the command out of that is Matthew 4:19. He said, come follow me. Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. There is a command to go fish for people. Part of what you can talk about that means that we are reaching people for Christ. We're helping people come to know Jesus. We're a laborer because the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And the last one, last week I talked about, is a reproducer. Someone who is like a parent who gave birth. Someone who is reproducing disciples who will also in turn make disciples. The commander is to go and bear much fruit. So last week we actually looked at the exact same passage in John chapter 15. We talked about this idea of fruit bearing. How fruit bearing is important, because fruit is not, the tree is not thinking about the fruit to be how delicious it is. A tree is thinking reproducing. That's why they bear fruit. That's why they produce fruit so that their seed will fall to the ground. It will grow another tree, but they're not thinking one tree, but they're thinking about the whole orchard. That's the whole point of fruit, is to reproduce. And so that's what we're called to do. Jesus said in John 15:8 that you are to produce much fruit and to prove that you are my disciples. And so I want to clarify something before I go to today's message, because maybe last week I was a little confusing and someone kind of asked me, a couple of people had talked to me about fruit. Oh, does that mean? So my definition last week was that bearing fruit means you need to reach the world for Christ by multiplying disciples. And someone was like, well, what about the fruit of spirit? It seems like it's very internal. I'm not saying that is not part of producing fruit, but all I'm saying is this. When you look at chapter 13 to 17, Jesus is talking about preparing a group of people to enter into the world for Jesus' sake. Grow, part of fruit bearing means that you need to have good character. It's both internal and external. But the internal character is not the end goal of your mission. That's why we recite Matthew 28:19-20. Go and make disciples. You need to go make more disciples who will make more disciples. So yes, fruit bearing means also that you are to grow to the likeness of Jesus, but there is an outlet of that growth to make more disciples. So now today I want to end our series talking about various barriers that you need to cross in order to grow through to different stages of those different chairs. But before I do that, I want to show you a shirt. If you have your notes there, you see my title there. It says "Level Up Like a Boss." So this is actually one of my kids' shirt. I guess kids these days use this language. I did not know what that means before. It's leveling up. And for those of us who are a little bit older, leveling up, I guess it's supposed to mean to go to the next level in your gaming. Like if you play this game, you're supposed to like up your game. Like you're supposed to win this next level. And so I was looking around the house. We have two of these shirts to level up. And so as I was looking at their shirt, I was thinking, I think that's kind of how we're called to do, to be as disciples of Christ. We are meant to level up. Like we're not meant to stay in just that one level, but we're meant to level up. And the cool thing is that you don't need to figure out how to level up. Because as we've been looking in John chapter 15, the answer is actually there. That Jesus had gave an answer how to level up our game, our discipleship game, our growth in Jesus Christ game, that we're supposed to level up. And in fact, last week I alluded to this. There are four chairs that we use, the analogy four chairs. In the passage in John chapter 15, it actually associates those four chairs to fruit. So as you look at the screen here, you see the first one. I want to read for us again. And if you have your Bible, in John chapter 15, John chapter 15, verse 1 to 3, every chair is represented here. Let me read it for us. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. The no fruit tree is chair 1. No fruit. Here's number 2. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit. It's the second chair. Fruit. So that it will produce more fruit. Chair number 3, a worker has more fruit. And then you fast forward to verse 5. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. Again, here is much fruit is where the reproducer is. So you, as you compare the chairs and the fruit, basically the graphic earlier shows you level 1 seeker bears no fruit. Chair number 2, a believer bears some fruit. And then in level 3, the worker produces more fruit. And finally, the reproducer produces much fruit. Then the question is, how do we jump from one to another? How can I grow in bearing fruit? And that's how I would like to end our sermon series today, is talking about these barriers. And in your notes, I believe there is a graphic there that similar to this. I would like to talk about how can we overcome these barriers. What are these barriers first, and how do we overcome them, and what kind of response do you need to have in order to move up? But the most important thing is not just looking at those barriers and how to resolve them. I believe the biggest thing for us, as we've been on this series for the last 6 weeks, today is the 7th week, is first to identify where you are yourself. Like, I want you to take a minute to just really think about for yourself. Look at the chairs, look at the fruit, and think, which chair are you currently sitting at? This past week, I had a conversation with several individuals, chatting and talking and kind of asking, where do you think you are? I think part of the way to overcome barriers is to actually know where you are first. Like, if you don't know where you are, it's kind of hard to overcome the barrier. So I really want us to take just one moment right now and just look at and think about where you are and why. Are you a seeker? By the way, one of the parents shared with me after our series, our message on seeker, one of the youth was talking to the parents about thinking that maybe I'm more of a seeker than the believer. All along, she thought she was a believer. But afterwards, they were talking to parents like, maybe I'm a seeker, and that's great to know. It's better to know that you're a seeker now than at the end of your life thinking that all along you were a believer, but in actuality, you're a seeker. And so as such, that youth ended up having a good conversation with the parents about, so how can I become a believer? And that clarifies the person's faith, clarifies the person's journey. And so I want to encourage you to do the same thing. If you want to, turn to the back of your paper, just write down. You don't need to show the person next to you. Write down, which chair are you? And why do you think you're there? Okay, as we're going to go through several of the barriers here. Here's the first one I want to talk about. The first barrier is this. In order for someone to move from no fruit to some fruit, the biggest barrier, according to the verse, is sin. So as you're taking notes, the first S in between no fruit to some fruit is sin. Sin is the biggest barrier for you to jump from no fruit to some fruit. Where did I get that from? Look back to John chapter 15, verse 2. It says this, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. The word removes there is a Greek word aero. A-I-R-O. Here in NIV, it says it cuts off. It sounds almost like Jesus wanted to take off that branch and just throw it away. But actually, that word was used many other times in the New Testament, but not in the way it translated to be cut off. It translated to be removed. I think in your CSV Bible or ESV Bible, it says it takes away or he removes. The picture there is this, that a branch that does not bear fruit is not being cut off and thrown away, which another passage alluded to, is actually being lifted up. Like the branch is being lifted up. The reason why it lifted up is because of this. Those branches that are not bearing fruit tend to be the one that's withering. When it's withering, it tends to touch the soil. And when a branch is touching the soil, what is missing is also missing the sunlight. It gets soiled up, literally. There's mud, there's dirt on it that is not receiving the nutrient from the sun. And if the gardener does not remove that branch, if it doesn't take it somewhere else where there is receptivity to sun, that branch will eventually die. That is the note. That is what Jesus is talking about here. He needed to remove that non-fruit bearing branch, move it to somewhere where there is sun. And the same way, that's why sin is such a barrier for fruit bearing, from no fruit to some fruit. If you have sin in your life, just like that branch being touched by the soil, being hidden by the soil, you cannot receive from Jesus the nutrients needed to reproduce, to give, to bear fruit. I don't know about you when you think about prayer. I think prayer is an indicator for many of our hearts. Think about the things that you pray for. We tend to pray for God to do something for us. But how many times have we actually prayed for prayers of confession? You see, if bearing fruit is so important, if the barriers to keep us from bearing fruit is sin, and we know that we all sin every single day, right? You don't have to be a Christian to know that you sin, you do something wrong. You've done something wrong outwardly, you've done something wrong in your thought, in your intention. But here's the thing, Jesus said sin is what keeps people from bearing fruit, and that's why the same apostle John, right, and wrote in 1 John 1:9, he tells us this: if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins. And for many of us, we stop right there. Can you go to the next slide, please? And it says to cleanse us from all righteousness. See, Jesus is not only just going to forgive your sin and say, my death on the cross is going to wash away your sins. When you confess your sins, he said, I'm going to clean you. I'm going to clean your sins. But here's what you need to do. The first thing you need to do, you need to confess it. Another word for confessing is you need to repent. That's where the breakthrough, if you're taking notes, the first R is. You need to repent of your sin. And you're like, how do I repent of my sin? I think it's not as hard as you think it is. It is literally telling God, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I don't want to do this anymore. See, Jesus promised here, if you confess your sin, he's going to forgive you. And he's going to cleanse you. He's going to pick up that branch that's not bearing fruit, who is soiled up into the mud, and pick it up. He's going to clean it, lift it up so that it will receive the nutrients that's needed to bear fruit. There are two things I want to share with you as you learn to make a habit of praying for confession, a prayer of confession every single day, which I could recommend you to do every single day, in the beginning of the day, at the end of the day. If you are any way like me, just think through today, just in your mind, run through this DVR in your head, the things that you have done. And think about the thoughts that you might have, and just take every single one of those thoughts and say, God, I confess that to you. I want to repent of that thought. Psalm 19, 12 to 3 says this: who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from blatant rebellion. There are two types of sin. One is hidden, one is unhidden. One is intentional, one is hidden. There are sins that you have committed that you have no idea you committed. Guess what? Those sins requires confession too. That's why the psalmist says, who can perceive unintentionally? Nobody. Because there are things that you and I have done that we need to confess, and we have no idea we've done. So we need to come before the Lord. If we want to bear fruit, if we want to grow to bear fruit for Jesus, then we need to say, Jesus, there are sins I've committed today. There are thoughts that I might have that is against you, against other people. Will you forgive me? But then there's verse 13 also said, keep your servant from willful sins, sins that you know you shouldn't do, and yet we chose to do. And again, the grace of God said, you know, come confess to me, repent of your sin. You can receive grace from me. I'll forgive you. And 1 John 1:9 we said, is to cleanse us. He will cleanse us. You see, sin is such a big deal for us, because if you are in sin, it's like someone playing on a basketball team who's injured. LeBron James is no good when both of his feet, if he cannot run on both of his feet. LeBron James is not useful when he's sitting on the ground, can't shoot, can't move. Any sports as someone who's the best athlete on the field is useless if he's injured. In the same way, you and I will be useless for the kingdom of God if we have sin who is burdening us, keeping us from bearing fruit. We can say, I'm going to try harder to bear fruit, but if you have unconfessed sin, you will never be able to bear fruit because you're not receiving what Jesus has given you. Now, here's the thing I want to clarify, though, because in this passage, some people are like, does that mean that if I don't ever bear fruit, I'm not a Christian? I think there's a distinction here because this passage is specifically talking to believers. How do I know that? You look at verse 3. It says, I'm the true vine. Verse 1. Yeah. I'm the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me, this image of in me, is always used when someone who is with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, if you're with me, you're in me, you're a believer, but there's a chance for you still not bear fruit as a believer. As a believer, it doesn't automatically guarantee that you will bear fruit, because if there's unconfessed sins in your life, you cannot bear fruit. But there are some of us here thinking that, man, I've never have any fruit in my life. I've tried really hard to be a good person. I've never actually experienced being a good person. You're like, I go to church. I give money to the church. But there's no peace in my heart. And I want to warn you. I want to give, and not out of a mean spirit, but really out of a loving spirit, that perhaps you need to check in your whole heart whether you have actually put your faith in Jesus. Because being a charitable person does not want to make a believer. It says only those who are in me, and when they confess their sins, when there's no sin anymore, then you will bear fruit. And so I want to encourage you, if you want to grow, perhaps you're a seeker, but there are some of us who may be already a believer, and you say, I'm still not bearing fruit. I've seen fruit before, but for a long time I haven't bear fruit. I haven't really lived the way that God has intended me to live. Perhaps you need to go come back before the Lord and confess your sins. And you've never confessed your sin, you never received Jesus. Confession of your sin is the way to enter into the kingdom of God. Salvation comes when you repent of your sin as well. So either way, whether you're a believer or not, repentance is important. So here's a question, the response I want to give you. What is the one sin in your life today that's keeping you from bearing fruit for Jesus? And I don't want you to answer that right now. There's a little blank at the bottom. It says response. I want you to go home and write down this question under that line and says, what is the one thing in your life right now? Maybe for some of us is pride. Maybe for some of us is laziness. Maybe for some of us is apathy. You just simply don't care much about God. You don't care much about others. Maybe it's a coldness of heart. Maybe it's boredom. I don't know what kind of sin you're wrestling with, but certainly there are sins that I'm wrestling with that's keeping me from being fruitful for Jesus. And what I want you to do is this, tonight until Christmas or this coming week, take some time to write down the answers and pray to God. Ask Him to forgive you of that sin. Because unless you're forgiven of that sin, unless you're repentant of that sin, you will not be fruitful. So that's the first barrier. Here's the second one, from going from a believer to worker, from having some fruit to more fruit. What's keeping us from having some fruit to more fruit? Here's the barrier. The barrier is this: good stuff. A whole lot of good stuff. So the barrier between seeker and believer, no fruit to some fruit, is sin. The second barrier from having some fruit to more fruit is stuff. Good stuff. Many good stuff. You see, in our churches today, in our Christianity today, we are filled with good things. Nothing wrong with those things, not sins, but they're really good things that have caused us to stop following Jesus the way we're intended to. Like, churches are made in such a way to produce consumer. Like, if the AC is a little low, let's crank it up. Seats are a little uncomfortable, let's buy new seats. If you like program, we'll make better program. But the way Jesus calls to follow Him is not to live a better, to have a better, easier life. I want to show you a video here that I came across.
Wake up, get dressed, and drive across town just to attend your favorite service? Introducing Virtual Reality Church. Start by choosing a church building that meets your needs. Tired of the stress of having to choose a Sunday morning outfit? Never make a fashion mistake again, because Virtual Reality Church will style you based on your denomination. Not a people person? Select the introvert experience to completely eliminate your welcome team, meet and greet time, connect cards, and that awkward hold hands with the person next to you thing we still do. Next, personalize your morning by choosing the worship experience that you want. Feeling a touch of white guilt? Add a minority worship leader. Custom options even let you tailor the skinniness of your worship leader's jeans. Finally, no more having to endure songs that you don't like. With Virtual Reality Church, you're in charge. For the sermon, choose the amount of conviction you like and we'll select a pastor for you. We'll even let you tailor your sermon topics so you'll never have to attend a Vision Sunday or a sermon series on giving. And never worry again about dozing off during the sermon. With Virtual Reality Church, you can sleep as long as you want. Kids being bad in nursery? Who cares? Worried about missing a football game? Enter your favorite team and we'll provide notifications when the game is starting. Never miss a kickoff again. Want to go forward for prayer? Well, if you selected a Pentecostal service, always stand in front of the mattress. Even connect your social media accounts and we'll post for you. Get credit for being super spiritual all from the comfort of your couch. Finally, an option for people asking the question, how can I make Sunday morning even more about me? Virtual Reality Church, the future of church attendance.
Obviously, this is all for fun. But as you think about that, right, I think many of us, when we think of Christianity, is how can I have an easy Christian life right now in this world? And yet that is not what Jesus is calling us. See, we have a lot of good stuff. And the way for us to bear much more fruit, Jesus says this, you go back to the passage in John chapter 15, verse 3, verse 2, he says, every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. We talk about that. And he went on to say, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. He said, he prunes every branch that produces more fruit so that it will produce more fruit. The idea of pruning is, I don't know how many of you guys like gardening. I hate gardening, but I happen to have parents and in-laws that love gardening. My dad loves gardening. He loves gardening so much that he'll come to my house and garden my backyard because I hate gardening myself. And my in-laws, my mother-in-law loves gardening. One time we asked her, what do you want to get you for Christmas or birthday? She's like, buy me a tree. Like literally buy her a tree so she can plant it in her own backyard. See, this idea of pruning is really important because pruning, what pruning does is actually trimming, cutting off some of the branch. But here's the part that you don't understand about pruning is not meant to hurt the tree. Pruning is not meant to like, oh, there's too many branches, make it look nicer. The idea of pruning is to make it more fruitful. That's why it says in the scripture, it says the one that produces fruit, what do you need to do to produce more fruit? You need to prune it. And most of the time when we think of pruning, we think of these old withering branches. So let's just cut them off so that it will focus the sap into the fruit-bearing branches. But actually, when you study pruning, which I did a lot of research, which I've never done myself, so I had to read up a lot on pruning for this message, is that what pruning does is this. A person who, you can get a PhD in pruning, I found out. So any youth out there want a career in pruning, you can actually get a PhD in pruning because pruning is so specialized. The gardener does not prune every branch the same way. The gardener has to look intently, be intimate with the branches of the whole tree to realize which branch needs to be pruned more, which part needs to be cut more. And most of the time when they're cutting, they're not cutting off just the bad stuff. A lot of times they're cutting off the good stuff. That's the surprising part of pruning. My dad had these strawberry trees for a while in their front, and he would put it on these trellis so that the branch doesn't kind of bend, and it would just kind of hold it up, receive sun and water and all that. And for a while, like they were like fruit were popping everywhere. And one time we went home, I saw my dad. He was like cutting off the fruit off the branch and tossing them away. I was like, "What are you doing? Like, isn't the whole point of growing strawberry trees is to get the fruit and eat them?" And it's like, no. You cannot just take every fruit. What you need to do is this. Even though there are some that is fruitful, you need to just trim them and cut them so that the sap, the nutrient will go to the branch that actually is bearing really good fruit. You don't want to just settle for a little bit of fruit. Not any fruit is good fruit. You want to focus a few on the growing baked strawberry that's sweet and juicy strawberries. But if you don't prune them, you let every branch to bear these little tiny dinky strawberries, it will take you years before you actually get good fruit. You see, that's what Jesus is getting at here. A lot of time we have good stuff in our lives, family, comfort of our home, education, friends. And I thank God for what we're praying for earlier about the five countries. Because when we think of a good Christian life, we tend to think of America. Suffering, we're doing everything possible to avoid suffering as a believer. But when you look at the verses of who's gonna get pruned, you look back to the verses that says he prunes every branch. Not just the super spirit, he prunes every branch. So that means if you are a believer, he's gonna prune you. And why does he want to do that? Because he wants you to bear fruit. He wants to prune the good stuff in your life to make you more fruitful. And so some of us, there may be things happening in our lives right now. Maybe we have a family member pass away. Maybe we lost our jobs. Maybe our family's not doing well financially. We can have all sorts of stuff going on. Those things are good things that we are treasuring. And God has blessed us with. But God said, I want to make you more fruitful. I'm going to prune you. But here's the problem. When he prunes, it hurts. See, no one should pray for pruning. The scripture does not say, God, please prune me. But we should expect pruning. See, God prunes us because he wants to use the opportunity to help us to bear much fruit. One of the things I had to be pruned by God for when I entered into ministry, when I threw out my college years was this. One of the biggest things I have to miss out on a lot is hanging out with my friends. I was really involved in our ministry and collegiate ministry. There are many winter break, summer break, I was either on mission or we're doing some sort of a retreat. And I'm not saying that just doing that, it makes you a good Christian. But I was involved in that. I feel burdened and called to do that. But as a result of that, I skipped out on many, many family vacations. I skipped out on many traveling trips that my friends had. And that is a price I needed to learn to pay as God pruned me. That yes, I could have traveled the world. But yet God has given me these opportunities so that I can bear more fruit. Again, I'm not saying going on a trip is wrong. I'm not saying vacation is wrong. But for me at the time, I knew that God wanted me to be on these trips and preparing people for these trips. And I was pruned and it was hard. There are days that I was like, man, all my friends are going on a road trip. I have to stay back at home. Like all my friends are having fun going out for dinner. I have to stay here for some training for 2 hours. But that is what pruning is. Pruning hurts, and God tends to take us away from these, take away the good stuff so that he can give us the best stuff so that we can produce more fruit. And here's a question I want to ask you guys can you go to the next one? At the bottom, what your response for this week is this. What is one thing that you feel like you can't live without? It might be a person. It might be a thing. It might be an animal. What is the one thing that you don't think you can live without? Because those are all good things and perhaps blessings from God. And someone even asked, like, what does taking away a family member from on earth can produce more fruit? You know, I was talking to one of the youth. It was hard to learn at the moment, but afterwards looking back, realizing that by taking away, for whatever reason, God take away a relative, that caused gospel conversation in the family. Is that a one-to-one? Is it equal? I can't say that. Is it easy to lose? No, it's not. No one should pray and wish loved ones are gone. But that we trust that God knows what he's doing. And part of the process of being a good worker, part of the process of bearing more fruit for Jesus requires us to be pruned. And for some, it means losing loved ones. For others, it means losing a comfortable life here in America. A good education that you have. Here's the last barrier as we end, is this from bearing more fruit to bearing much fruit. Because in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. In verse 8, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. Here's what's the barrier keeping us from bearing more fruit to bearing much fruit. It's satisfaction. Satisfaction. What I mean by that, I think we can easily, when you're sitting at the seat of worker And I'm speaking, let me be frank, for those of us who are a little older, we're serving in the church, serving in different ministry. I think it is very easy to sit in this seat and feel like, man, things are going pretty well. I'm giving my life to serving. I'm giving my life to discipling. We can sit here and be very easily satisfied and compare ourselves to the next person. This person is not doing half as much as what I'm doing. So what else does God want more from me? We can easily just get bitter and say, man, God, I'm doing a whole lot. Why don't you ask those people to do more? But here's the thing. Here's what keeps us from, because we're satisfied in what we're doing. And the solution and the breakthrough for that is this. Jesus said in these short verses, he used a word I mentioned to you last time, 8 times, the word remain, abide, connect. Remain, abide, connect. In the Greek word is meno. It's a very deep, rich word. It's not just of a sense of connecting. It is almost a sense of resting. Like it's a similar word used in Psalm 91:1, where the psalmist said, the one who rests in the shelter of God, rests on the shelter of the Most High, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. It's a word of being satisfied, being complete. And that's what Jesus is saying. The worker does the work of God because it is a duty. But a reproducer, the one who bears much fruit, does not do it just because of duty. He does it out of love for Jesus. He does it not because he has to. He does it because he loved to. That's what separates a worker and a reproducer. That's what separates someone bearing much fruit and bearing more fruit. Because here's the deal. You and I can fake it and bear a lot of fruit on our own, because we are very capable people. It is not hard to preach up here. I can fake it all week long and come up and preach a good message, and you will be blessed by it. It is not hard to lead worship up here. It is not hard to lead a small group. It is not hard even to evangelize. But the reason why you do it is going to make you someone who is bearing more fruit or bearing much fruit. And Jesus said, the only way you can do this is to remain in me. Because when you remain in me, you're not doing it for other people. You see, the worker do it for other people. The worker said, there's a need, I'll meet that need. But a reproducer, a person who's bearing much fruit, says, I'm doing it because I love Jesus, because Jesus is calling me to do it. It has nothing to do with the person, the people that they're, not that he doesn't care for them, because later on you see in John 15:5, you go down a few verses, I'm the vine, you are the branches, the one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit. And then in verse 15, it says, I do not call you servants anymore. See, a worker is a servant, but because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, I have called you friends. When you remain in Jesus, you know better that you're not just a servant of God. You're a friend of God. And when you serve him, when you do things for him, when you carry out the Great Commission, is out of love. Like a friend loving another friend. There's a partnership there. You're not just doing because, man, there's some lost people, 10,000 people who's dying every single day, so there's a need, I want to meet it. No, you're going beyond that. You're saying, I love Jesus so much because Jesus loved these people. I want to go there and do what Jesus is doing. I want to end on a little story here. There's a guy named Robert Coleman. He's an old, very old saint. He's still alive, but he wrote this really famous book called The Master Plan of Evangelism. It's a really thick book, very, very instrumental in on the topic of discipleship. But the reason I want to share with you about his story is this. When he was in his 60s, he had 3 grown children, I believe. They all moved out of the house. So he's almost retirement age, by the way. He's still teaching right now in a seminary. But when his kids were all out of the house, married, there's a choice to be made for him and his wife. Either they can retire and travel around the world, which he will still be someone who is instrumental in the kingdom of God up to that point of his life. Or there was an opportunity for where the seminary where he was teaching, to have an undergraduate degree, undergraduate program, that they could be an RA, someone who oversee undergraduate students. Now, imagine this 60, 65 years old man with his wife hanging with a bunch of undergraduate students who's up late at night, eat at 2 o'clock in the morning, hanging out, playing games, and he chose to move into the dorms as an almost retired couple. And he said, there's no better way for me to impact people except by getting close to them. Now, I will reverse that for you. How many of you would like to spend a night in a convalescent home and serve those people there? You see, they love Jesus. That couple, Robert Coleman and his wife, they love, they're remaining connected with Jesus. They're not doing it out of duty. They do it because they want to change. They know that Jesus loved these people. He's making themselves available. So that's what's going to make someone from worker to reproduce. Here's the last question I want to give you as we end here. How are you going to remain in Jesus more this week? And it is not, I will tell you, the answer is not going to be some new revelation never heard of in church. And it can very simply be just growing in your spiritual discipline with God every single day. Every single day. Spending time with Jesus, praying, prayer confession, reading His Word, trusting in Jesus, relying on His Spirit, care more about people, loving people. It can be a very simple thing, but it will make your life completely different when you're abiding in Jesus. Let me pray for us as we end. Heavenly Father, I think for many of us, we know these barriers exist in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God, You will help us to overcome these barriers. Not by our power. And Lord, we know that the reason why for myself and for many of us, we're not moving to the next level. We're not leveling up. The very barrier, yes, we name all these things, but at the core of it is us. But Jesus, we want to thank You for setting the example. That for the joy before You, You endured the cross. That You chose the path of suffering for the sake of blessing others. For the sake, more importantly, to fulfill the Father's will. And so, God, I pray for all of us here today. That fruit bearing will be painful, will be hard, but yet we chose, that we will choose to obey You because we love You. And beyond that, we know You love us. And Lord, we want to love You, want to be like You. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, You are the author and perfecter of our faith. I pray for every person here who is a seeker that they will find You. For every person who is a believer that You will mobilize them to follow You in Your footsteps to work for You in their school, in their home, in their workplaces, in their gym. And Lord, for every worker here that You will change their mindset. The motivation to work is no longer because they have to, but because You love them and they love You back. Lord, we want to show the world that we're Your disciples. And You say, God, the way to do it is to by bear much fruit. So help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.